This is some read up from book, Unacknowledged, An Expose of the World's Greatest Secret. By Stephen M. Greer, 2017, in audio in format MP3. Foreword by Brian O'Leary. The human experiment on planet Earth is on the verge of self-destruction. Looking at the threats of nuclear war, the chemical and biological ecocide, global climate change, proliferating weapons on Earth and in space, the greed of corporations, and the gross cronyism and mismanagement of the US government, the bloated military budgets and aggression, the distractions of our cultural conditioning, the spread of fear and ignorance, the suppression of life-saving technologies, the disparity of wealth and poverty among us, it is amazing we are still here. Barely. Do we have any hope? My answer is, we can only try. And if we do try, where can we find the answers? Enter Dr. Stephen Greer. Almost 20 years ago I first met Steve Greer at a lecture I gave at the Unity Church in Arden, North Carolina. Having left my career as a mainstream space scientist at Princeton University and Science Applications International Corporation, I was then beginning to liberate myself from the confines and expectations of Western science. I was also intensely studying the UFO/ET phenomenon rejected by most of my fellow scientists. Now I felt free to explore and express our transcendent reality. So was Steve. A brilliant young Earth physician with UFO/ET experience, Dr. Greer and I talked into the night when we first met. We began to make connections we were both just beginning to understand, that ET visitations were not only real, they could assist us in overcoming the human-caused global crisis. Since then, Steve has provided amazing leadership in penetrating the mysteries, not only of the phenomenon itself, but the shadowy corners of US government and corporate cover-up of it. As a result, Dr. Greer has proven himself, time and time again, as a fearless and energetic warrior on the leading edge of planetary change. First he founded the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, XETI, in which he introduced the concept of ambassadorship between humans and off-planet cultures. But this time not merely science fiction. Holding all-night workshops in UFO hotspots around the world, his groups would vector in craft through the use of lights, sounds and visualization which he coined as close encounters of a fifth kind, aka S5. The workshops continue to be offered to interested students. Then he embarked on the difficult task of locating and receiving video, DVD testimonies of over 100 US government UFO/ET witnesses under the Disclosure Project, culminating in a major press conference in Washington, in May 2001. These revelations underscore a long, sordid history of governmental and media secrecy and the acquisition of technologies such as microelectronics, anti-gravity propulsion and zero-point, or free energy, from our visitors. This massive cover-up has been going on for almost six decades, since the UFO crash near Roswell, New Mexico in July 1947, an event which was certainly not caused by balloons, as alleged by the US Air Force. Such myths are only accepted by the ignorant or the powerful and their subjects. Dr. Greer's pioneering work on disclosure inevitably led to further understand the depth and credibility of ET contact accounts, as well as the cover-up itself. For example, the above top secret research going on near the infamous Groom Lake, Nevada and elsewhere. Steve Greer is a spiritual warrior of high calling, juxtaposed against those forces identifying themselves as the United States. The latter are criminals who must be brought to justice, for so many reasons evident to ever more of us, as we watch the fall of the American Empire. Dr. Greer, more than anyone, has produced the clearest evidence of a UFO/ET cover-up, and now it is up to the rest of us to embrace it. It is sobering to think that, only since the United States pioneered the nuclear age in 1945, causing the most frightening devastation of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the modern sightings, contacts and technology transfers have been taking place. The long-range atomic bombers were stationed in Roswell. The bomb was created in Los Alamos, The first one exploded in Alamogordo, and missiles to deliver future bombs were tested in White Sands. All in New Mexico, a nexus of the military-industrial complex. Was it just coincidence that the 1947 Roswell UFO crash also happened there? Doubtful. The horrors of nuclear technology would make any compassionate ET race want to rush to that area, as they have ever since to military and nuclear installations elsewhere. Perhaps they are helping to prevent the horrors they too don't wish to see unleashed by irresponsible humans. We Earthlings need all the help we can get, so why not embrace the phenomenon for what it is, to marvel at the wonder, leaving behind our cultural biases? Only through expanding our knowledge and taking political action can we make the needed shifts, and that is what Dr. Greer is so good at doing. In many ways, the UFO phenomenon tells us more about ourselves than about our mysterious visitors, and the mirror they hold in front of us is frightening yet hopeful, if we listen to Dr. Greer's words. He is providing support to inventors with revolutionary new energy technologies that could give the world clean, cheap and decentralized energy, thus ending the oil, coal, and nuclear age and the virtual end of human-caused pollution and climate change. On the evening of my first meeting with Stephen Greer, the Unity Minister Chad O'Shea presented me with a bumper sticker: "The truth shall set you free, but first it will piss you off." If we allow ourselves to vent about, not to deny, our dire circumstances, and then move on to solutions, we might have a chance as a civilization. This courageous work is not for the meek. Many cutting-edge scientists have been threatened, murdered, and otherwise suppressed by cascades of disinformation and personal attacks. Dr. Greer has endured all this, to our benefit. Dr. Brian O. Apostrophe Leary. 2005. 1940-2011. Scientist, author, former Apollo astronaut. Introduction. This book contains information that has been kept from sitting U.S. presidents, senators, members of Congress, heads of state, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to name a few. I know this because in many cases I was the one who provided briefings for them. What I have learned over the last three decades is that there are two U.S. governments, the government of we the people represented by our elected officials, and a shadow government made up of mid-level functionaries whose roots trace back to a black ops organization launched in the 1940s by President Truman. This group, known back then as Majestic 12, was tasked with keeping the truth from the public regarding the most astounding discovery in the history of the world: UFOs and the existence of extraterrestrial life. But it is not just the truth about UFOs and ETs this secret regime has been safeguarding, it is the interstellar technologies that have been reverse engineered from the more than 20 downed ETVs, extraterrestrial vehicles, more commonly referred to as UFOs, the first two of which crash-landed outside of Roswell Air Force Base in New Mexico in July of 1947. These craft were downed using an early electromagnetic wave weapon. They were drawn to the Roswell base, and others like it, because of the growing proliferation of nuclear weapons. The thought of UFOs and extraterrestrials being real is difficult for most of us to take seriously. Logically, we can accept that the universe, being vast beyond our comprehension, is certainly capable of supporting countless other species. NASA estimates there are between 100 billion and 400 billion star systems in our Milky Way galaxy alone. Emotional acceptance is more difficult. All our lives we've been conditioned to believe that UFOs aren't real, and that anyone who believes in ETs is crazy. In a sense, the UFO provides its own best cover, for to believe in it or God forbid to actually see something and discuss it among one's peers is to welcome ridicule. And yet many of us have seen these craft, and would prefer not to remain silent. My own first encounter happened on a sunny afternoon in the early 1960s. Three of my boyhood friends and I were out roaming our neighborhood in Charlotte, NC, when an object suddenly appeared in the southwest sky, a silver oval-shaped gleaming craft. Obviously not an airplane or helicopter. It was seamless, totally silent and unlike anything we had ever seen. After hovering for a short time, it instantly vanished. My family, predictably, passed off the incident as a childish musing. But my cohorts and I knew we'd seen something way beyond the ordinary. Since that day, my sense of connection to that experience has endured. Conversely, my first reaction to what you are about to read regarding the lies, secrecy, and conspiracies revolving around what many have labeled a new world order or cabal was, yeah, right. For the record, I am neither a NASA scientist nor a member of any covert organization. I am an emergency physician and the former chairman of the Department of Emergency Medicine at Caldwell Memorial Hospital in North Carolina. Truth be told, I was asked to walk away from a lucrative career to pursue a greater good, but then confirmation after confirmation, and independent corroboration after independent corroboration, convinced me the information to which I was being made privy was real, and by then I was saying, oh my God. Compiled within this book are secret files, documents, and never-before-published conversations, transcribed from interviews between myself and key eyewitnesses about numerous UFO and extraterrestrial encounters. Many of these men and women have held the uppermost top-secret security clearances while serving in the intelligence community and all branches of the armed forces. Others have worked for defense contractors servicing the U.S. Defense Department. All have courageously come forward at a time when humanity faces a crossroads that will determine the very survival of our species. Incredibly, what you will read in this book represents less than 1% of the testimonials provided to us by the more than 800 government, military and corporate witnesses and whistleblowers that we have interviewed. Of these, more than 100 are on film, contributing hundreds of hours of testimony and thousands of pages of transcripts. Additional material and videos of testimony and documents can be found at www.seriousdisclosure.com, spanning 60 plus years of events to give the reader a sense of the subject and how illegal secrecy has been maintained, and why. And we invite more people who have worked on the ET/UFO subject to come forward with their testimony, documents and evidence. See the book, Disclosure, Military and Government Witnesses Reveal the Greatest Secrets in Modern History by Stephen M. Greer. Which has additional evidence, we have three specific objectives in presenting this information to the public. First, to provide evidence which supports a timetable of undisclosed events that led to the biggest cover-up in the annals of human civilization. The goal here is not to try to convince the reader that our planet is being visited by numerous species of extraterrestrial intelligence. Tens of thousands, if not millions, of people can attest to that fact. More important is to remove the taboos that have been placed on the subject of UFOs and extraterrestrials by the intelligence agencies whose job it was, and remains, to hide the truth about the Emperor's new clothes by disgracing anyone and everyone who attempts to explain that the Emperor is, in fact, quite naked. As we will show, extraterrestrials have been visiting our planet for quite some time. They are not a danger to us, we are the danger, both to them and to our own kind, and very definitely to our own chances of survival, for it is our actions that are destroying our planet. Second, our witnesses will reveal how a scientific endeavor kept out of the public eye during the height of the Cold War was hijacked by the military-industrial complex. This entity, which grew to power during the Eisenhower administration, has evolved into a covert government within our government, a cabal, and now illegally channels upwards of $80 billion to $100 billion annually in taxpayer monies into unacknowledged special access projects. USAPs. It is this cabal that must be exposed in order for the technologies they have purposely black-shelved to reach the masses and provide free, clean energy to the world. There can be no more debate, unless we replace fossil fuels with clean energy, we will end up responsible for our own extinction. Third, and most important, by making this information public we hope to enlist the influence of the masses in order to force the release of these black-shelf-free, clean energy technologies, specifically those harnessing the power of zero-point energy and anti-gravitics. First discovered by Nikola Tesla and T. Townsend Brown, as well as others, these free energy systems have been consistently denied patents for more than a century, with the scientists' work confiscated, their lives ruined, and in some cases, terminated in order to prevent their energy systems from competing with and replacing fossil fuels. Zero-point energy is the game-changer that will revolutionize the planet. No more hunger, poverty, pollution, or climate change, and an influx of advances in transportation, medicine, travel, entertainment, and the sciences that will skyrocket the global economy. This is the reason we are making the UFO/ET forbidden history public. Zero-point energy and anti-gravitic technologies that were reverse-engineered from downed extraterrestrial craft, dating back to the Roswell crash landings in June, July of 1947. You may be thinking, ah, come on now, I know this can't be true. After all, why would anyone deny a non-polluting free energy source that can do so much good for the world? In a word, power. Of which money is only a symbol. In 1901, when Nikola Tesla had figured out how to tap into the zero-point energy field, a discovery that would have made power plants obsolete. J.P. Morgan didn't like the idea of free energy, having just invested heavily in the copper wire that was required in electrical wiring. So the industrialist got his cronies in Washington, D.C. to stop Tesla and had them confiscate all his work. Since then, no patents have been issued on any inventions or energy systems that threaten to replace the status quo. Who killed the electric car indeed? A century later, our growth has stagnated, our vehicles are still saddled with gasoline-dependent combustion engines, the poles are melting, cancer runs rampant from our needless exposure to the rising amount of toxins being pumped every day into our environment. And 80% of the world's population lives in abject poverty. It was never supposed to be like that. We the people can change the world for the infinite better for all, simply by demanding free, clean zero-point energy. Just as word processors replaced typewriters and cell phones replaced landlines, this tide, which will raise everyone's boat, can be brought in gradually. If we wait for our political leaders to do it, it will never happen. If we allow Wall Street to control it, it will be circumvented. Only the will of the masses could have brought down the Berlin Wall. Only the will of the masses can move us forward. The future is here, if we demand it. As Ben Rich, the former CEO at Lockheed Skunk Works said, we now have the ability to take ET home. Zero-point energy and anti-gravitic propulsion systems already exist. This book will tell you exactly where they are and how we can get them. The extraterrestrials want us to succeed. As the evidence will show, they are here as allies and not adversaries. However, they have made it quite clear that the entry ticket for human civilization to become interplanetary is, first and foremost, to be civilized, to live together peacefully, to renounce weapons of mass destruction, and to go out into space free of weapons systems with a consciousness of universal peace. Therein lies the conflict, for these advanced technologies remain in the hands of the military-industrialists whose objectives are to keep humanity in a constant state of war. War is profitable. War keeps the 1% in power over the 99%. War maintains the status quo, preventing our own evolution as a species. If this sounds like an Orwellian nightmare, it gets worse, for the final act that they, the human cabal, have in store is a false flag event that will make 9/11 look like a fender bender. This book exposes every insidious detail. I have divided the information into 5 sections. Part 1, UFOs and ETs, The Secret Files, Historical Facts and Testimonials. Part 2, Close Encounter 5, Human-Initiated Extraterrestrial Contact for Peace. Part 3, The Road to Disclosure, From Country Doctor to Providing Briefings for Presidents. Part 4, Cosmic Deceptions, Let the Citizen Beware. Part 5, An Action Plan, to Ensure the Future We Want. If it takes a village to educate a child, then it takes a movement to change the world. The first necessary step is to peek behind the curtain to see reality for what it really is. Stephen M. Greer. February 2017. Part 1. UFOs and ETs, The Secret Files. Historical Facts and Testimonials, UFO Encounters Prior to World War II, Commentary from Stephen M. Greer. Evidence of UFO sightings can be traced back to cave artwork, Egyptian hieroglyphics, events described in the Bible and in ancient Vedic literature, as well as 16th century paintings featuring saucer-shaped flying objects. The first modern-day extraterrestrial encounter was believed to have occurred on a busy street in China in 1942 when a photographer selling souvenir photographs of visitors suddenly had his attention drawn to the sky where a large, dark, disc-shaped object was hovering silently. The quick-thinking photographer focused his camera on the disc and obtained an excellent, clear photo of it. A military officer serving in the Chinese campaign prior to World War II was present on the street as well. He bought the photograph and apparently tucked it into a scrapbook he compiled while stationed in China. It went unnoticed for years until a Japanese gentleman discovered the old album containing the 1942 photograph. U.S. Marine Sergeant Stephen Brickner was stationed in the Solomon Islands in August of 1942 when he witnessed the appearance of multiple unconventional, although loud, flying objects. Brickner wrote an account describing over 150 wobbling objects flying in a formation of straight lines of 10 to 12 craft each. But it was during the height of World War II that actual encounters with UFOs would begin when American, British, and German pilots and their bomber crews crossed paths with otherworldly objects that became known as Foo Fighters. It is my thesis that flying saucers are real and that they are spaceships from another solar system. I think that they possibly are manned by intelligent observers who are members of a race that may have been investigating our Earth for centuries. I think that they possibly have been sent out to conduct systematic, long-range investigations. First of men, animals, vegetation, and more recently of atomic centers, armaments and centers of armament production. Professor Hermann Oberth, 1894-1989. German rocket expert and a founding father of the space age. Quotation, flying saucers come from a distant world. The American Weekly, October 24, 1954. UFO Secret File Foo Fighter Encounters 1941-1945, Testimonials, Master Sergeant Dan Morris, NRO Operative, Cosmic Clearance, Sergeant Clifford Stone, U.S. Army Retrieval Unit. Commentary from Stephen M. Greer. During World War II, in both the European and Pacific theaters, as well as in India, strange orb-like objects of light began appearing around bombers on both sides during combat. American Air Force pilots and intelligence officers flying over Germany, and in particular, the Rhine Valley, reported seeing red or orange lights that seemingly dropped in and out of linear space-time to circle their planes, and yet never appeared on any radar screen. Sometimes they flew in formation beside military aircraft, other times they raced across the sky at fantastic speeds. Described as energy drones, the objects often disrupted electronics aboard the warplanes while affecting gravity. Occasionally one would actually pass transdimensionally through the bomber, freaking out the crew. These objects became known as Foo Fighters, which translates as fire in French and German. Another report credits an American pilot who paraphrased a comic strip title from the day and stated where there's foo, there's fire. Either way, the term Foo Fighters stuck, and yes, the rock band took the name decades later. Rather than being an isolated incident, these balls of energy reappeared with increasing frequency between 1943 and 1944. In 1944, two P-47 pilots each observed a Foo Fighter in broad daylight. Flying near Neustadt, Germany, one pilot reported observing a gold-colored ball with a metallic finish. The second pilot, also flying near Neustadt, described a phosphorescent golden sphere with a diameter of 3 to 5 feet. In May of 1945, American soldier Lina Momo described a fireball of rather startling nature over Adorf, Germany. It was brighter than any star, or even the planet Venus. It passed completely from horizon to horizon in about 2 seconds. The path was through the zenith, so that whatever its altitude, its speed must have been enormous. Momo went on to state that the object was soundless and had a rising and sinking or bobbing motion as it traversed the heavens at impossible speeds. Fearing the Nazis had developed a new weapon, President Roosevelt dispatched General Jimmy Doolittle to the Allied Theater of Operations in Europe. Doolittle reported back that the objects were interplanetary in nature. General Douglas MacArthur organized a group called the Interplanetary Phenomena Research Unit back in 1943 to study this issue, and it continues to this day. Their purpose is to recover objects of unknown origin, particularly those that are of non-earthly origin. They obtain field intelligence information and pass it on to those who are the keepers of this information. Testimonial. Dan Morris is a retired Air Force career master sergeant who was involved in the extraterrestrial projects for many years. After leaving the Air Force, he was recruited into the Super Secret National Reconnaissance Organization, or NRO, during which time he worked specifically on extraterrestrial connected operations. He had a cosmic top secret clearance, 38 levels above top secret, which, he states, no U.S. president, to his knowledge, has ever held. I had a clearance 38 levels above top secret, which is cosmic top secret. It is the top of all of those clearances. It is for, parenthesis, working with, UFOs and aliens. No president has had that level, has ever been cleared for that level. Eisenhower was the closest. There are several intelligence agencies. The Army had it. The Air Force had it. The Navy had it. And then there were several secret intelligence agencies. One that did not exist, it was so secret, was the NRO. You couldn't mention NRO. It is the National Reconnaissance Organization. If you're on that level, then there's an organization worldwide called ACO, that's Alien Contact Intelligence Organization. If you pay your dues, and you follow the rules, your government is allowed to benefit from that organization's information. Now, some people call it the high frontier. The Navy intelligence refers to themselves that way sometimes. They all work together. Air Force intelligence, naval intelligence, and the NRO. And were at one time all in a certain part of Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. Most of the satellite interpreters were the most of the intelligence interpreters from the Air Force, the Army, the Navy were there, that's where they worked and interpreted. The Nazis recovered two UFO apostrophe S. It was in 1931 or 1932, and they took them to Germany and started reverse engineering them. They got ahead, and even before the war started, they had a workable UFO. It was called, I believe, Hundidu 1 and 2. The 2 was the one you see about 30 or 40 feet across, with the three balls hanging down, that go up and down when they're landing. Bouncing. The Foo Fighters were not manned. Those were unmanned vehicles, but it had the traction that it could stay right in front of fighter pilots' swing shields, and there was nothing he could do to dodge it, it would stay right there. Now the thing was, it could fly through our formations and kill the engines in our bombers and fighters, just like today. If a UFO flies over you, it could kill your engine or even shut down a power plant or nuclear silo, because it works on anti-gravity electromagnetic propulsion. So, we began to experience that in the bomber formations. And the Foo Fighters. There was nothing they could do to get rid of them. We've got plenty of documentary film to show that in the archives. And then we got a whole bunch more from the Germans after the war, because we brought not only Wernher von Braun, but we brought Victor Schauberger over here, and some of their electromagnetic people who were working on the UFOs. Those guys gave us a jump on everybody else. The Russians took some people, too, but we had the main ones. Schauberger was out here in New Mexico, and he helped us in White Sands and other places around New Mexico. Then he felt we'd done him wrong, and he went home, and 2 weeks after he went home, He was killed. Testimonial.